are listening to Legacy Moments, where we have authentic conversations to transform your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Dr. Patrice Berry, and I am joined by my co-host and mom, Johnny Lloyd. Together, we combine my years of psychological training with her years of leadership and business experience to add value to your day. Based on our last conversation last week, it really flowed right into today's topic, and we are going to talk about being a cycle breaker, breaking generational patterns. What are some tips and some things we can do, and what are some things that the cycle breaker may end up experiencing? Because as that person goes about their day in their life, they encounter some things that other people don't encounter, and we don't always have these conversations. And it really started, I did a post over on TikTok and talking about learned helplessness. And there was a study that was done, and I don't think I've talked about it here, and I don't know if we've talked about it, where they trained mice to be afraid of cherry blossoms. And they connected, I believe it was a shock, they connected an adverse stimulus to the cherry blossom. And then all of a sudden, and I think they said it was like three generations later, the mice that had never had the shock were still afraid of the cherry blossoms, that it literally changed the way their brains were wired. And as we have this conversation, I also like to talk about generational resilience and generational strength, because I think we pull on that as well. Go ahead.
Wow. The thing I was about to write was resilience. During this opportunity to move forward that we've had in the last few years to transform our lives, to impact, there are people that did the resilience side differently. Everybody did it differently. Everybody has been resilient. It's just how, right? So one of the things that on some people's agenda, what they did was they really succeeded. They saw progress. They saw a lot of progress in their life. Then other people, they were more timid or they did not see as much progress. But just being alive and being well, being emotionally, physically, financially moving forward is an element of resilience. So it's about what you see and how you perceive it. The same thing with being a cycle breaker. One of the things that I like about what Patrice talked about was how are you perceived by your family? So I think one of the first things we should talk about is what are we saying? And Patrice already started it. What are we saying when we say cycle breaker? She's already addressed that. So I'm just going to go a little bit deeper. So for me, cycle breaking was in my personal life was when I became a single parent, I heard everybody saying the reasons that things happen to children and parents that are single parents, all from the negative perspective. People didn't say nothing about, oh, girl, you can do it. Well, maybe one person, me, maybe my family, maybe. But anyway, but it was all from a negative perspective, what you were losing, all of that. And in addition to that, they said, well, you know, children that are raised by a single parent, this is what happens to them. We're talking about cycle breaking. So what I did was two things. I said, oh no. And I said, how do I not control it, but what do I feed? What can I do to ensure that we can move forward in such a positive manner that those things are not named among me and Patrice? Now, there's so much you can control. You can give people information, but you can't make them do anything. So so the first thing I did was and it was from a place of fear. And there's a reason I'm telling you this, because some people break cycles from a place of fear. Some people break cycles from a place of faith. So from the fear perspective, because I had just come out of a homeless state, resources were critical. Me being the top of my game, me being the one that everybody called my name. It wasn't because I wanted them to call my name, it's because I needed them to call my name because I thought that's how I could stay relevant and make sure that she didn't need anything. So I fought for the right to have so many resources coming in that money was never an issue. So there were things in my life that happened that went against that. So when one of the things for me for cycle breaking was, okay, now what do I do? Once I stabilize the resources, then I went over and said, okay, what can I do for Patrice? I'm still a single parent. Now, I didn't know how long I was going to be single. If it was my plan, it would have been a little bit different than it happened, but it is what it is, right? So I started looking at community and how the community, my faith community in this case, and my work community, how could they support this? But what I did not do, because it would have been from a place of fear, and I was very careful about this, was saying, looking at her and said, I made this mistake and you're not going to make it. And da 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 da, and you need to do this and da da da. I was very careful trying not to do that because that would have been from a place of
fear.
And I was trying not to do that. Now, did she see fear? Probably. Did she see some concerns? Maybe.
Not really. You masked it really well. And really, so people are always asking me, often not knowing that I was raised by a single parent, especially when I'm live on TikTok, people will ask questions about how do you feel about people raised in a single parent home? And the thing I say is, I am grateful. I would not be as healthy as I am if my parents had stayed together. They both needed to do their individual work and they were not capable of doing that work together. Yeah. It just wasn't going to happen. And so if people, because I think sometimes people stay in toxicity thinking it's better for kids, because that's often the research. Those are the things that people talk about. I'm a licensed psychologist and I'm here to say, if the two people are going to work on it and they're going to change and they're going to lower the level of toxicity in the house, then kids do well. But if those two people are still going to yell, scream, blame, shame, display all of these things, and if the child is going to see how this person is treating the person they say they love, then that creates more of an issue. And kids do best in homes that are stable, safe, where they feel seen, loved, and heard. And I had so many people over on social media. I did a post about that and they commented that they despised the parent that stayed and the parent that thought they were protecting them, the parent that thought. And I acknowledge not everybody has the resources to leave. Not everybody is in a place. But if the reason why the person is staying is because they think that's best for the kids,
So when you're a cycle breaker, it's okay. First of all, when you're a cycle breaker, that doesn't, that's an interesting place to be because that means you step out of something that has been considered normal.
Well, but you're normal.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I saw and I always say TikTok because it was, I saw a great TikTok where a girl said she was raised, her family has owned a funeral home since the 60s. And she didn't know that body bagging, the other people didn't know, like other people go snowboarding, sledding, but they used to get in clean body bags and ride body bags on the sled because you stay dry. And so that was her normal. And there wasn't anything wrong with that. I did ask if the bag was clean.
Yeah.
No, it was empty. And like, do y'all reuse those? Are they, but I think being able to step out of your comfort zone and then accepting that you are going to disappoint some people.
Yeah, but you get a chance to choose who you disappoint.
Well, and it doesn't matter if this is the best decision for you, because there are people, so my healing can trigger somebody else's pain.
Right.
Because maybe they're not in a place to make the steps. Maybe they're at a different place in their healing journey, and they want me to stay where they are. And that can become a very big problem. And I think as people start to heal, sometimes your environment changes.
Yeah. And the thing about it is, when I say you get a chance to disappoint, you know, choose who you disappoint, what I'm saying is this. Like, if I have two things that I have before me and I choose to be a cycle breaker, right? There may be people in my life that says, what are you doing? You know, that's not what we do, or that's not how we act, or that we don't, you don't need this, or whatever. So you get a chance to make a choice. Now they're probably going to be disappointed, right? But you get a chance to choose to break the cycle for you, for your life, for moving forward. So I'm going to give a great example. One of the things we talk about is the way that we manage discipline. I think that's a great place, right? That's a great place. So the way we manage discipline, I mentioned before, I said, we were talking actually about being at 1,000, running at 1,000, but let's talk about the discipline side. The way my parents were disciplined.
Abuse.
It's considered absolute abuse. Okay. However, is it better than my grandparents disciplined them? And then for me, I remember I said, I'll never spank Patrice. Because this is going to be important. She did something to trigger me. Whoa. When I got triggered, I should have controlled myself. Because triggers is about the person who gets triggered. I get a chance to control my trigger. I should not have taken it and went wild, like the Wild Wild West. So my point for saying that is I made a decision and then I switched it. And then she showed me through her actions, like, Patrice was nothing but muscle. I just want to explain that. But I'm serious. Listen to me. Patrice was nothing but muscle. They would look at her and said, she has no fat on her. I said, well, she eats everything they move in. She was complete. Am I lying? Complete muscle. So then when she started offering, like, go ahead, whatever, you know, because didn't care. It didn't hurt. So then I already wanted to break the cycle, because you have the desire to break the cycle. So I already wanted to break the cycle of not really providing that kind of discipline. So I had to shift. She helped me shift back to my desired place, which was not to spank, and look at, say, okay, well, this ain't hurting her. So I start letting her do stuff like, okay, what should you? You did da da da. What should be your discipline?
And taking the phone. That was the, and this was, so this was, it was the house phone. Okay.
Yeah.
I am old.
We ain't talking about a cell phone.
I am old. And so not having access to the house phone, threatening to understandably having some boundaries around, hey, if you're going to do this sport, this is what your grades have to be. If you want to go out for the weekend, your chores have to be complete. But I did want to go back, because I think you handled it extremely well, because we had a conversation recently.
Yeah, where I was feeling some kind of way.
Where you said, I don't remember, because my mom has heard me talk about some things. And sometimes I say things in kind of a dramatic way on TikTok. Like, there's no other way to say it. I say it in a way that it makes an impact.
And it's true,
but I'm not giving all of the context and everything. And because I want to make a point. So she probably saw something. She was like, I don't remember spanking you that much.
Well, I was on a TikTok journey, y'all. I shouldn't have been on a TikTok journey. I was on TikTok. I don't know. It just kept on going. And I said, every time I turn around, she's talking about what girl? So this is important. So I went to the source.
Yes.
Because this is the deal with our life. When we talk about cycle breakers or whatever, remember, your belief system is based on things that happen, things that you were told that happened, and your perception of what happened. Did you want to say those three areas? It's not just because it's the story that we tell ourselves. So I was trying to get into her story. What is your story about this?
And, but I want to say you came with an open mind and an open heart. Yeah. You didn't come defensive.
No.
Because often people,
I know her.
Often people come thinking that didn't happen. I now need to change the narrative of what you think happened. Right. And I came with receipts because she was like, I never spanked you. The last time I spanked you, we were in Okinawa.
And then she reminded me and I said, oh, that's right. but let me tell you the importance of it. It was a conversation that we needed to have.
And neither one of us was upset during it. Because there are times when she wouldn't have had this conversation with me if I was yelling, screaming, if I was approaching her in a disrespectful way, or if she was coming with a closed mind thinking, oh no, you have to think the way I think.
So that I'm going to step back. So people want to be friends with their children. So this is the thing. So how do we get, matter of fact, we did a show on it. We talked about our relationship. We talked about the fact that our relationship didn't start like this. Okay. And our relationship is growing because we want to make sure, number two, is that I'm available to hear what I need to hear that she wants to share. Number one. Number two is that she's available for the same thing, but that I trust and respect her and that she trusts and respects me. That's why our relationship is so amazing. It's not because I agree with everything she does. And she probably don't agree with anything I do. Like go to Mexico on my own, whatever. So anyway, so my point for saying that is
your phone not working.
Yeah. We're not going to get into Mexico. Anyway, and I'm going back in September. Anyway, but my point for saying that is that when you're breaking cycles, it doesn't mean that everybody's going to agree with you. You have to do what's right in what you believe as a parent is right.
And you said something earlier, and I need to go back to it because even if I'm doing better than what my parent did, that doesn't mean that that's what my child needs.
That's right.
And so if there is a gap between what my child needs and my current skills, that is where I need to read some books. I need to check out some resources on YouTube. I need to go find some resources. I need to do my own therapy, possibly put my child in therapy. Because I know even for me, so having a kid, being a parent is the absolute hardest thing I have ever will ever do. So I'm a licensed psychologist specializing in working with children and teens, but I work with them once they're six because six-year-olds are starting to become capable of like rational thought. Two-year-olds are not. And so that's why I don't work with 2-year-olds. I don't work with 3-year-olds. And because people, I was always serious when I said the young years, 0 to 5, are my least favorite years. Because now there are amazing things about it, but I needed so much support, so much help. And so the resources and tools that I share, those are things that I practice. Those are things that I'm growing in and learning for myself. And so I don't want people to say, because I did the best I could, that I understand that and I can accept that, but that's not where the story ends. That's not where I stop.
Actually, it's where the story begins. When you come to the table doing the best you know how to do it, then what you do is you get support, like Patrice just alluded to. So let's talk about it from the financial perspective, not just children. The same thing in the financial realm. If you're generationally, there has been a financial issue, right? And then you decide, this is not, I'm going to be a homeowner. Because we do have some people right now that are first-time homeowners or whatever. So, or I'm not going to be in debt or whatever your decision is, or then you see things raising up, like every time you start saving the money, it seems things to disappear or whatever. You might want to look at, okay, what are you doing? What are you doing and why are you doing it? Like some people went out and they said, I want to have X amount of money in the bank. Me and Patrice has an issue like that. Well, the issue grew from me because I have this issue that I need. And it's an it's a mental thing for me. It's a mental thing. she's about to choke. Anyway, so it's a mental thing for me that when this amount of money is in the bank, I know it ain't getting interest. I got it. I, you know, whatever. But when this amount of money is in the bank, it's my emergency fund and something, whoo, we're happy, right? Happy thoughts. And when I say happy thoughts, it doesn't mean I have sad thoughts when it's not. It's just that I'm more comfortable at this level. Okay, so let's go back to breaking cycles. So if you're breaking a cycle and it's financial, don't beat yourself up or even your kids up when you start seeing things happen. Start feeding them, Patrice said, books, tapes, mentors, coaches, all of those things. Get somebody to help you, to hold you accountable while you go through the process. Okay, one of the ways that you break a habit we talked about before, it's not that you just lay down that habit. Actually, that you add, you put a habit onto what you already know and you grow from there. So if I'm changing the habit is every day I go to Starbucks, right? So I may say every day I'm going to drink Starbucks, but now I'm going to drink 3 days or 4 days from the house. I'm going to buy Starbucks pods or whatever. And I'm going to make my own stuff, put my own cream on it, sprinkle it with caramel, whatever. I'm going to do it in my house. And then you start seeing the benefit of that. And then you start doing it in small segments. When you're in a place and you're breaking a cycle that you have determined that is important for your life, don't look back and start, what word am I looking for? Judging other people about where they are. Don't tell them how wrong they were. That's not, you do what you think is best in your moment. Because remember, you're a cycle breaker. Cycle breakers come out of the norm. They are the people that are trailblazers in the family. They are the people that are moving in a different direction. Some people break cycles and they're interesting cycles to break, but they thought it was the right thing for them. And then they switch back and forth. So just because you're breaking a cycle, you have to determine if it's a good cycle or why was the cycle set up. And if I can just 1 second. So there's this thing that somebody talked about, I think it was Jake's, TD Jake's talked about, but he said, everybody took this roast. I mean, they bought a big chuck roast or whatever, or no ham. And they always cut off this one part. And so it was like, he asked his grandmother, he asked these people, why do you do that? And so he finally got to the source and she said, because my pan was too small. Watch out for why people are doing what they're doing. And are you continuing to do something that you no longer have to do because there's no requirement to do that anymore?
And we'll stick with that with the finances, because I've worked with a lot of people that maybe struggled financially growing up and now they struggle with spending any money on themselves or they spend too much money. And so being able to have balance in this, I think is important. And what's motivating this behavior? Because if it's fear, if it's that fear of being, because there are people where it's like, there is enough money in the account. And I'm saying this as I kind of preach to the choir, because I like a certain level of stability. And sometimes things happen or things change where it's like, okay, I might not always have this level of comfort, this level of, I know that I know. So leaving my salaried position, the reason why I stayed so long was because I didn't want to have to, I like knowing exactly how much money was going to come into my bank account each month, every 2 weeks. And I was able to still set that up with my business, that I was able to set up a salary where I know exactly how much I'm the minimum that I'll get. And then because I'm the boss, I get to also write bonuses. I get to contact my accountant and say, ooh, the account's looking good. Can you put a little
bonus
extra, extra. I need a little bonus this month. And so there are ways that you can, I don't want to say accommodate, but there are ways that you can keep some things and still step out and break that cycle. And I like how you said, is it actually serving you?
And that's the key. Is it serving you? And then this is the other thing. I see the way that Patrice does her money, or the way that she started her business. And for her to launch out, I'm a proud mommy, all right? I'm a proud mommy. But in addition to that, I can see also how her life has transformed. Because usually cycle breakers really doesn't, it's like breaking through the channel, a dam. You know how a dam is holding back water and then somebody opens the dam and this gush comes out. Sometimes it happens like that. And then sometimes the dam only has a little pebble and it only has a small drip. So just because you're breaking a cycle, you may not be seeing the results that you think should happen based on your intentionality of it. However, keep on moving because water rises to its own level. Things will be impacted. Things will move forward and give yourself space to tweak. Don't, no blame, no shame, and don't force it. When I say don't force it on others. Yeah. Remember that you are the trailblazer. You are the one. And when people will see you and they'll say, wow, what's different? What are you doing different? And that will typically encourage them. But more than anything, encourage yourself.
I like that. But the one thing I do for parenting is if somebody is going to be around my child without me being present, you do have to agree to do things our way because we are looking at, because people often ask me that question. I'm gentle parenting or I'm doing conscious parenting. And there are family members that won't abide by that. And so it's like, how do you handle that? And if you're in a position to set some boundaries up around that, then I think you set some boundaries up. But as you break those cycles, as you do things different, you'll be pulled to go back to the status quo because what you're used to feels right.
Mm.
This new thing is going to feel different. It's going to feel, it's not going to always feel. And so being prepared for that, which is why I'm glad that we're being open and honest saying, hey, as you do this, be ready for when people disagree with you. Be ready for when people disapprove. Be ready that, hey, some people are going to say you're this, you're that. Oh, you think you're this, you think you're that. And just be prepared for that. Because once again, I work with a lot of people that other people that are still in that cycle will give them advice that will keep them there. And so be careful who you're going to for advice and support as you're breaking some of these cycles.
And then this is the thing I'll say is that I see someone said breaking generational curses is something else. It is absolutely something else. But this is what I'll encourage you to do is when you look at it, look at your why.
Yeah.
Look at your what. Why? Take a generational cycle break. Take the thing that you're going to break. Don't look into what I'm going to break these 15 things at one time. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's like overload. And what it does is sets you up for a lot of anxiety and stress and that kind of thing. So look at make the main thing the main thing. If right now the cycle that you want to break is financial, then go intentional against that financial piece and start working that out. You will see that other things, generational curses, other cycles will be connected to that. And you'll see some of those rise up and shift as well. So look at the main thing in your life, not somebody else's. Look at what's happening in your life and see what is not serving you well as you move forward from where you are right now. There's stuff I teach. I teach the Shamgar principle. And the Shamgar principle is start where you are, use what you have, and do what you can. The same thing as a cycle breaker. Start where you are. No blame, no shame, all of that. Look at where you are and say, what is it that is not serving me, my family, whatever, moving forward? What don't I want to live as a legacy or leave as a legacy? How do I want to shift this? And then move forward. Take the first step. And you say, how do you do it? Take the first step. Don't sit back and say, well, you know, when I, and I'm gonna give you an example I thought of this morning, because y'all be on my head, in my head. So one of the examples is, how do you want to help your children for school as far as it's concerned, as far as education? It's what popped in my head this morning. And then I said, some people want to say, well, I don't know what to do, so I'm not doing anything yet. No, start with the 529 program. Start with something. Start with a small savings account when they're born or when they're really young. Start with that account, you know, instead of buying them. Okay, so I'm going to say this. Y'all can, you know, comment however you want to. Instead of looking at just buying them these little cute shoes that they're not even touching the ground on that may cost more than $40 a pair, that child ain't going to remember them shoes. I mean, I'm just serious. So take part of that money and put it away for them if that's part of the cycle you want to break. If you want to break a cycle, start intentionally doing things, small steps or big, however you want to do it. But I'm thinking small steps is normally works real well. Start there and just keep on building the strength to move forward. Because I personally have an account set up for my grandson. I set it up. I use his account. They know it's there. They get their bill. But I put money in it as his GG. So I don't buy him a lot. Well, you know, I shouldn't say that.
Because you don't buy him expensive things.
No, I don't pay a lot of money for the things I buy him.
Yes.
There's a difference. So I don't pay a lot of money for the things I buy him. I do have expensive tastes.
Yes.
So yeah, because I just bought this really cute outfit. The tag on it was $50.
He didn't like it,
y'all. And of all the stuff, he didn't like it. So sometimes as Gigi's, grandparents, whatever, we buy children stuff and he's sitting here telling me, and Patrice is being so sweet. She said, be grateful. He says, you like this? No.
Well, not like, but it was no. The way. He could say
he
no.
Wanted to play. Yeah, he wanted to play. He wanted to do something else. But my point for saying that, part of it is sometimes when we're trying to break a cycle, let's say we want, you know, we didn't have a lot growing up, so we want to give our children a lot. If it's not something that means anything to them, be careful with putting on.
That's good.
Putting on what you want as a person onto someone else and saying it should be important to you because it's important to me. He didn't like it. So I found my receipt this morning. I'm going to take what he don't like back. It's okay. My money likes my bank account. It's okay. But my point for saying that again, I'm going to go back to the real point. The real point is be careful as you break cycles to break them from a faith perspective, not a fear perspective. Even as it relates to financial, don't pressure and push on lack. Push on abundance. Abundance in little things. You know, let them know that they have, like if a child has way too much, you know, you're only wearing whatever. Well, we're going to take this stuff and we're going to give it away to someone else who needs it. I love what Patrice and do. Around his birthday, they go through his toys and he's a part of it. He knows it. But look at the abundance mindset he has. He said, I have so much that I can give to other people. So help us help him by that. But the same token is as a parent, just because I like a lot of stuff, because I'm always doing stuff, but I do little things. And when I find out he didn't like it, I said, okay. So don't put your, as a parent, as an adult, don't put our empowerment, our decision to break this cycle. Make sure it comes from a place of faith. And you may feel some fear as you go through it, but you control that and build on faith.
And then also as you're going through your process, remembering there's a difference between feedback and criticism.
Ooh.
And that comes on both sides. So if somebody's coming to me saying, hey, this is how what you did impacted me. So when they focus on what I did, okay, that is feedback. If they say, oh, you don't, like if it then becomes a personal attack, then that is criticism. And that tends to not be particularly helpful. But if I'm focusing on, hey, this is what happened and this is how it impacted me. And there is a big difference between somebody, but when I'm getting feedback, sometimes I can interpret it as criticism, especially if it happens to me most with people that I love and care about, where I have to breathe. When they're telling me something that's hard to hear, it's like, ooh, because I would never hurt one of my family members on purpose. I would never want to do any of those things. And so relationships are mirrors.
Mm.
And they will always show you parts of yourself that, so I can't see the back of my hair right now. The back of my hair, I can't see it, but she can. So if she said, and this happened last week, if she's like, hey, we got one piece of hair.
It was like, bothering me, y'all.
It bothered me. It bothered me.
And I was trying to fix it.
I was wanting to just cut it off. And so, but feedback is addressing something that you actually have the capacity to change. So if my mom was looking at me saying, oh, I don't like the way your lips are, I don't know, like something that I can't change. Like, it's like, I'm not gonna change that. Then that's not particularly helpful. So I think sometimes within our lives, acceptance isn't approval. Acceptance is not approval. And there will be people in my life that they're gonna do what they do, be the way they are, but then I get to set boundaries around, okay, I'm only going to see this person so often. When I go to visit, this is going to be my exit strategy. Here's how I'm going to handle this. And because it's still important to me to have a relationship with this person, it's still important to me to maintain this. And if it's not important to me to maintain that, then I might decide to let it go. But I did just want to mention that when somebody's coming saying, hey, this is especially to an older generation, listening to the younger generation, because there were some beliefs with my mom's generation where it's like, kids don't have a voice, you know, kids are seen but not heard. And she never did that to me. So she always taught me that I have a voice, that I was in rooms with grownups and at like 11, 12, 13, and I was adding to the conversation and often right. And so being able to, if you're really going to break it, you have to be open.
Yeah. And the thing that as you are open, ensure that your boundaries, Patrice alluded to, but I don't want us to miss it, that you have pre-established boundaries. Hear me. Pre-established boundaries before you get into the situation. And then you go ahead, because I saw you move.
So, and I just like to clarify with boundaries, and Domestic Blisters on TikTok said it this way. Boundaries are about how far I'm willing to go, and it's not about what the other person does or doesn't do. And so me saying, don't yell at me, that is a request. Saying, if you continue to yell at me, I'm going to leave, that is a boundary.
That's excellent. I love that. And I saw that TikTok when I was doing the TikTok drama. Anyway, I was going through TikTok. There, and so this is the deal. The deal is that it's imperative that you set it up in advance. Same thing with your financial. If you have financial, people don't like the word budget. If you're looking to grow and break a curse or break generational ties or whatever you want to call them, if it's not serving you, you need to know where you are. The first thing you need to know is what you're spending your money on. And then you have to assign what you're going to spend your money on. What are you going to do? And then you align to that. The same thing in if I go visit my family member and they do certain things and I tell them in advance, I said, hey, if y'all start doing this, this is how I'm going to handle it. So when I handle it, and people said, well, where are you going? I said, well, I mentioned it to y'all. I said this, da, da, da. I said, but I'm out. You know, I'm good. Love y'all. Hugs, kisses, whatever. Don't do it from a negative perspective. You're just doing what you said you were going to do. And so do it.
I also heard somebody say recently to not argue about boundaries. Ooh. So for me, if that happened, I would just get up and start to go. And if they were like, where are you going? We already talked about that. What we just, you're so sensitive. I'm packing up. I have nothing more to say. And because sometimes some people in your life they will try to put it on you. They want you to react. And so it's best to just walk out your boundary. And sometimes it's best to not even
explain. So let's talk about cycle for a sec. One thing about a cycle is sometimes you can be comfortable.
Yes.
You can become comfortable in something that's painful.
And the way I
want to say that, I'm not saying from a negative perspective. I'm saying something that is not serving you.
The way I say it is you can become addicted to drama and chaos.
Whoa.
So if I've grown up, if my family, if everything, if my life has been nothing but chaos, peace can feel uncomfortable. Peace can feel not, because my brain knows how to handle. Like my brain, it's been in chaos forever. It knows. So I've worked with people where their brains actually settle, and sometimes they seek out, like unintentionally. It's a subconscious thing. Their thinking brain is saying, "I don't want this." And so sometimes we have to learn how to settle and be in the moment, and use some very basic. Because a lot of those reactions, they are, they're not planned. And so being able to settle those parts of the brain, I work with people on that.
And we train our brain. Okay. So visualization, our brain does not know truth from lie. Did y'all know that? Your brain doesn't know the truth from a lie. That's why when people say virtual, whatever on their eyes, their body, their brain doesn't know that that's virtual. They don't know that that's not true. Their body reacts to a lot of that stuff because the body is saying, skip all of that, right? So be careful for what you become comfortable in. I'm gonna say it again. Be careful for what you become comfortable in, because when you start breaking cycles, what happens is one of the first things that can happen is you become uncomfortable.
Yes.
Because you're stretching.
Yes.
You're going in a different direction. You're retraining your brain as to what is your normal. So you're breaking some things. So it's like, it's not breaking glass, but it is kind of like breaking, you know, say the glass ceiling. But the first thing happens is that you hit it and it doesn't break. You hit it and it doesn't break. And then eventually you don't know which hit is going to cause it to shatter.
I also wanted to say healing isn't linear.
Oh, that's good.
So as you heal, as you break those generational patterns, it won't be like this. It's going to be, and for those listening on the podcast, you're going to be going around in circles. And I saw somebody do it recently where it feels like you're going around and around, but you don't realize that it's three-dimensional and you're moving up. You're spiraling up. Yeah, I saw that. It looked good because it feels like I'm going around and around the same thing. But often you don't notice, wait a minute, I am handling this a little bit different than how I handled it last time. And even the awareness of, oh, I'm aware of my behavior. I'm aware of my emotions. So as you heal, it is not going to be. So that's, I always tell people, as we start to go process trauma and as we start to do this work, you're going to feel a little worse because it served you to not think about this and to not talk about these things. And there you've hidden away some of this stuff. So as we work on it, that's why I only do this work with people that are able to manage. So first we work on being able to manage our emotions because you need to be prepared when the big emotions come outside of session, because it often won't happen all within our 45 minutes to an hour.
And then this other thing, muscle memory. You said, how do you throw muscle memory in the middle of all this? Because as we continue to grow, it's like lifting weights. And have you had somebody be in the gym and they, you know, just, you know, they worked it. And then something happened and they couldn't be in the gym for a long time. But when they went back to the gym,
don't you go back to what you were doing.
When you go back to the gym, everybody be like, yeah. But your muscles are saying, wait a minute, I remember this. So that's the deal. The same thing is muscle memory. Our brain is a muscle. Do you know a brain is only 3 pounds of muscle? It's your brain. And there's so much power in it. Okay, so this is what I'm going to tell you. when, because I'm always reading. I love reading, y'all. There's this book called Mark II, Hair on Fire, or something on fire. On fire. Mark II on fire. So, and I can't think of the author, but that if you pull that up. But this is what he said the other day. He said, all people, all children are born and with just their brain is just clear. They have the brain, but it's clear. So they learn things. They learn. They are taught things and they learn as they move forward. A brand new baby does not think, I can't be a millionaire. A brand new baby doesn't think like that. A brand new baby doesn't think about limiting thoughts or ideas. That comes in from the things that they eat, the things that they see, the things that impacts them, right? So this is what I'm gonna say. He said, give yourself permission to say what you have believed about this chain, that it's wrong. Give yourself permission to say that that is not what's happening, and then transform, and build on what your new you is. He said, it's hitting me because what happened is that I keep on getting to a space and I get to a certain weight and I do something to go back up. I do something, I eat. I eat or don't exercise, right? So, however, there's something in my brain that's comfortable at the other size, right? Because I've been there for so long, right? So your brain will work with you when you work with it. So visualize and feed it at the next, whatever you're believing for to break. Don't concentrate. People have never, and this is a different speaker, but people have never become rich by studying poor people. You don't study what you want.
So if you want healing, if you want to do things different, study people that are doing what you want.
Because it feeds your brain.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you all so much for listening. Like we said, we do this here on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and also live on TikTok Thursday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Thank you so much to Chanel and William and
Elder Betty, William. Thank you.
Ether Shakur and Christine, and then also everybody over on TikTok. Thank you all so much for joining us. If you have questions, please let us know. And if you're listening to the replay and you have questions, please let us know. And we hope you enjoy the rest of your day.